Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cowboy Church. My name is Susie McIntyre Eaton.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
Is that who you are?
Still.
I was wondering about you, wondering maybe you'd changed or something.
I got married 47 years ago, and my wife is the one that changed her name, but I didn't.
You have the sweetest wife.
I do.
You have the sweetest wife. And I don't know if y'all know it or not, but early in my career, Russ and Anna took me and my husband then, Paul, under their wing and took us to a lot of churches and around to different places. And we raised our kids on the rodeo circuit. It was pretty cool.
Actually, we just liked hanging out with y'all.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah. Even Anna trusted me to dye her hair one time.
I didn't know this.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think we abandoned ship before it really happened. Well, this week, we are talking about Daniel. Daniel 9, it's the wrap-up of your sermon. And I don't want to talk too much about it because I think it's going to be a great finale.
Well, intercession is basically praying. You know, there's a lot of parts of prayer. You have the worship, the introduction, the exalting God, the about the little details of life. Mm-hmm. But intercession is the part that we ask God for the things.
Right.
You know, God expects us to ask Him. Mm-hmm. And so we ask Him for things. We intercede for ourselves because we need to get ourselves right.
Right.
And we intercede for our family because that's who God put us over. Mm-hmm. And we intercede for our nation because that's who God put over us.
Yes.
You know, so intercession is praying and inviting God's presence into every aspect of our existence. Mm-hmm. And intercession is that's the workhorse end of Christianity.
Right. And we're encouraged to pray without ceasing. So, that doesn't mean you get down on your knees, you know, all day long and you pray without ceasing in your heart, sometimes I just say, God, I don't understand this. What is the problem? Help me understand this. And as sometimes it's something about a plant or my kids or my grandchildren or whatever, but, just sit and relax for a few minutes and take this in and how important it is to intercede, to pray, especially for our country at this point. It begins with us, our families, our surroundings, and then it just kind of like when a rock hits the pond, it just has a ripple effect as we pray. So sit back, relax. I hope you enjoy Cowboy Church today.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll change. By the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God, He left His glory above to bear it to die.
He said, do you know, do you have any idea
why those walnuts keep rising to the top? And he just paused. He says, those walnuts are not pushing themselves to the top. Those pinto beans, because they're smaller, they're getting underneath those walnuts and they're pushing the walnuts to the top. And the reason that Daniel, catch this, the reason that Daniel kept landing on the most important seat in government for the Israeli people is because he had made himself something big in the eyes of God, and God kept using the rest of the people to bring Daniel to the top. If we pray to God for the ones that we're supposed to pray for, well, Russ, how do you know who to pray for? It's the one that God puts you in charge of. Look, men, it's your family. That's who you pray for. It's your wife. It's your children. If you're a leader at the job, it's your job not to do your leadership job first, but priority is to pray for those who you are over. And Daniel actually confessed the sins of a nation because he was over that nation. And it's our responsibility to see to it that our people get our prayers for their benefit and for ours. You know, my wife has a few cats, and she's got a pretty exotic cat. She has one of those Maine Coon cats, and she has two Bobtail cats. One of them's a female, and she's raising big Bobtail cats, crossing them. It's kind of an interesting process. And when I gave up raising horses, she said, well, cats are going to take a lot less room. So she's raising cats now. But we have one cat that we didn't obtain through any desire of our own. Our granddaughter came to Texas for a little while, and she found a barn cat that came to here at Shepherd's Valley Cowboy Church. And she adopted this cat. Well, it's Cody's cat. It's a barn cat. It's a mouser. It likes the barn. And when they moved and went to Arizona, their grandmother, my wife, she says, well, I've got all your stuff ready for your cat. And Jordan, our granddaughter's father, my son, he says, oh, no. We're not taking that cat to Arizona. And Anna goes, well, it's your cat. He goes, no. Here's how it works, Mom. He said, you're going to be the cool grandparent. So anytime Cody comes to visit, she has that cat. That's going to be your. So we have a cat that is a tiger. His name's Tiger. And he's a cat. He's just tiger striped, dark cat. And Well, he's a pretty good mouser, so he's good at the barn. He doesn't like the other cats. He's kind of a cranky old guy. But he has a place in our barn, in our house, because he is our granddaughter's. So I thought, if we're going to have to take care of this cat, I'm going to utilize it. So now when I go out to do chores at night, that cat comes up to me meowing and wander between my legs, because what I do is I pick the cat up. Every night when I take it in the house, I use that time to pray for my grandkids. Take my hat off, hold my hat, hold the stupid cat, and I head for the barn. While I'm going to the barn, I utilize that time to pray for my grandkids because they're my grandkids. And because I love my grandkids. And now that stupid cat has become an affectionate cat. Whenever I'm out of the house, hates to be in the house. I go to the house, feed it, and then it goes to howling and crying and let me out of here. But the cat loves for me to pick him up. He loves for me to pray. He loves for me. He loves to be around that because he understands that during that time that he is an object of affection. And I don't know if he really understands what prayer is all about, but he likes being there. And I think I think that in our prayer time and our time of intercession, it's important that we understand that God has put people in our lives. They're called family. And I think a priority in our intercession is that we pray for our family. There's another priority in intercession that I think we need to visit. And that priority in intercession is this. If you look at Daniel's life, Daniel prayed every morning. He prayed every noon. He prayed every evening. He prayed every day. He was faithful. He was consistent. And what happens when a person lives like that? They don't have to go before God and say, "Oh, God, you see how bad I've been. You see the rotten person that I am, but I need to pray for my kids. My kids are in trouble." When we make a priority of spending time with God, what it does, it puts us in right relationship with God. It puts us on a level base that we don't have to go confess our sins again. We don't have to get right with God because God's a holy God. Guys, the Bible says that God is holy. God is holy. And if we worship him, it says, "Be holy as he is holy." Man, that's a tall order. How do you be holy as God is holy? Well, I don't know all of it, but I know some of it. And here's some of it. If I spend time with God, I'm going to be closer to acting like God than I would if I don't spend time with him. If you hang around people, what you do is you begin to pick up their mannerisms. You begin to pick up all the things that go with them. And that's what we want. We want you to be the kind of people who spend enough time with God that you pick up God's heart. You pick up God's affection. You pick up God's will. You pick up God's, what drives God, what irks him, what blesses him, what ministers to him, what he loves in life and what he hates. And when you get to know him like that, then when you pray, you're not praying for stuff you don't need to be praying for. "Oh God, help me win the lottery this week." But the truth of the matter is, people that are connected with God, people that spend time with God, they have a priority in God's heart. And intercession needs for us to be the people who have God's priority. And God's priority is the people that serve him. God's priority is the people who have, you ask anybody about David. The Bible said David had, he was a man after God's own heart. And God honored that. God will always honor that. When God honors that, that makes our prayers more viable. God can still say no. But man, we don't have to go through a process to get to a point where our prayers can actually begin to function correctly. We've already been through it. And Daniel had been through it. And when he began to pray and intercede, he began to understand that he had a position here and he was to be faithful to exercise his position. He was to be faithful to pray for the people under him. He was to be the person that God could depend on. And when he was that, then his prayers that were needed were answered. And even guys, sometimes when we've done everything right, sometimes for our own good, and sometimes for reasons that we don't understand, God will say no. The children of Israel weren't remorseful. They weren't repentant. They didn't follow God's direction. They didn't follow his. They rejected his son. They did away with a lot of things that they needed to keep, and they kept a lot of things they should have done away with. And because of that, all of the horror that Daniel had seen in his vision came to pass on the children of Israel. What moves me the most is we serve the same God with the same requirements. As a nation, we need to be people profoundly influenced by the things of God. And when we are, and when we pray, and when we set our affection on the things of God and not the things of the world, and when we develop what we're supposed to develop and we become the people we're supposed to be, God will make leaders out of us. God will make us where we're the walnut, or not the pinto bean. God will turn us into the people who can be effective for the kingdom of God, and God will allow us to have a positive influence in the realm that we can have a positive influence. And I challenge you today to live your life to the way you should, and to pray for the people that God has put in your life. And when you do, it's a formula. I do a lot of formula preaching. I don't apologize for it, but there is a formula to this in order to be effective for the kingdom of God. And I want that for you. I want for each one of you to be that kind of effective over the things that God has put you over. And guys, when we do it as a whole, if the whole nation will begin to respond to God the way that they're supposed to, and it starts with us individually, if they'll begin to respond the way that they're supposed to, then the judgments of God won't be what they are going to be if we don't repent. And that's what we want. That's what we want. I'm going to do my part. How about you? Let's all do our part. Let's live for God. Let's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's be people that are holy. But more than that, let's be people that constantly stay in prayer. If you're going to be a Christian, you have to pray. You have to pray. Prayer is what makes a difference, and intercession is what makes a big difference in the people around you. And if you love them, you'll pray for them. Pray for your family. Pray for the people you love. Pray for your job. And this is the toughest one. Pray for your enemies. Oh, that's a tough one. And as divided as we are as a nation, let's don't let our divisions destroy us. Let's learn to pray for our enemies. And our enemies have become the people we disagree with. That's not correct. Our enemies should be the people that are enemies of God. And the way we need to treat them is the way that God wants us to treat them. We need to love them. We need to care for them. We need to tell them truth. We need to speak righteously. And who do I pray for? Pray for those I'm over. Pray for my family. Pray for my nation. Pray for my enemies. And when we do, we'll become the people who rise to the top in every situation. God will see to it. Our Heavenly Father, thank you today for the sacred challenge, Lord, of us being involved in prayer and intercession. Oh God, that our families would be saved, that our families would escape the judgment to come. God, that our nation would turn to you completely. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.